And welcome both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online. As I hope that you have had a meaningful Thanksgiving celebration. I don't know about you, we had a house full of relatives. It's not always like that for us every year, but it was like that this year. And I am glad that things have begun to settle down just a little bit. I think the last two couples were leaving this morning, and so we look forward to the next Thanksgiving experience. As I've been thinking about the past year, about things in my own life, but also things in the life of the church, and the year that we've had in ministry, all that has gone on, some of which we saw in the video, I think that it has been a year to celebrate and be thankful. Amen? It has been a year to celebrate and be thankful. Once again, God has proven faithful. God has been good in blessing our ministry efforts. So let's talk about some of the things I celebrate. Worship in both our classic and our modern Sunday morning services has been outstanding. Amen? We are blessed to have Larry Downey's overall leadership, along with Michael Mason joining us as our modern worship leader this summer. And I see that Josh Berg is here, back from being up in North Dakota, South Dakota, and we bless him as being here this morning. But our classic and our modern worship experiences have been outstanding all year. Amen? Our refuel service on Wednesday nights with different preachers each week has been fantastic and has been marvelously supported. Our Celebrate Recovery on Thursday nights continues to bless those of us with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. These worship services, all of them, continue to be the primary port of entry for new people into our church. Our ministry with children, youth, and adults also is of big impact. It continues to change many lives. With our Sunday morning discipleship classes that many of you participate as leading the way. Other efforts, though, are tremendous help, like Christ Church Preschool, the Arts Adventure Camp, Crave Mission Week, the Upward Basketball and Cheer activities. All of these things introduce our children to what it means to understand and follow Jesus as Lord. Youth activities like Winter Retreat, like Disciple Camp, Day Spring Camp, Upward Basketball Camp, and the What Would Youth Do project all help our students to learn what it means to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then adult ministries have their impact. Ministries like Grief Share, Hurting Parents, Widow Widowers help many people in our community who are hurting. And the women's ministry, their extravaganza, their annual retreat, their Bible studies, their circles, Saturday brunches, and two simulcasts this year have nurtured wonderful spiritual growth among our women. And then the men's journey groups, the men's annual retreat, and the monthly breakfasts are iron sharpening iron times among our men. And our outreach efforts, including recovery workshops, the Good Friday concert, Sunshine Mission nights in the summer, Rock the Block in the fall, Trunk or Treat, the Pumpkin Patch, Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gifts, which we just celebrated last week, the Christmas concert right out ahead. All of these are opportunities for us to go, share, and invite others to come and to see what God is doing. It has been a year to celebrate and be thankful. Amen? Amen. I hope that there is joy in your heart for all that God has accomplished through us. And yet, I would say this, we cannot be satisfied. We cannot be content. One of my jobs as lead pastor of this church is to care for this flock, as well as to look out into the future and to cast vision where God is leading us. Paul tells the leaders of the church in Ephesus in Acts 20:28, our text for today, keep watch over yourselves and all of the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I count it a high privilege to be the shepherd of this flock that God has called me to oversee, but I also count it as a great responsibility as well. Jesus gave his life for this church and every body of Christ, and I don't want to mess it up. Hello? Don't want to mess it up. So I've been praying, and I've been seeking God, and I've been visiting with other leaders, asking God to give me a fresh vision for the year ahead and beyond. And I believe that God has been answering my prayers. Now, I haven't come down from the mountaintop with two stone tablets in which God has written upon, but I do think there are some strategic priorities that have come clear. First of all, to be the church that God is calling us to be the unique body of Christ that we are in Tulsa, with a midtown presence and yet with our metro-wide reach, to be the church that has celebrated 64 years of ministry this past October with plans to celebrate as many more years out into the future, I believe that there are certain things that are going to be essential. The fact is, we cannot stay where we are just doing what we've been doing and be self-sustaining over time. We cannot continue to be just doing what we're doing and be self-sustaining over time. Any organization that is not growing, not adjusting, not adapting to the changing environment around it is going to become irrelevant over time. And yet, we are no ordinary organization. Amen? We are the church of the living Lord Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Risen One. Amen? Because of him, we have unique authority. We have unique opportunities. We have a unique calling in the world. And so we believe in Jesus Christ and his mission in the world. Amen? He is the one that can change hearts. Amen? He is the one that can transform lives, that can restore relationships, that can heal the brokenhearted. And it's our faith in him that gives us our power from on high, the promised Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit is the game changer for us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit from on high that is the unique gift that Christian believers have. It is the game changer for all of us. And so, it's the Spirit that empowers us, the Spirit that leads us, equips us, guides us for the tasks that God has given us. It is not about us, but it is all about the work of God that he is doing by the power of his Spirit in and through us. And we are clear about our mission. We're clear about our mission. We are, let's say it together, we are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I hope that mission echoes in your heart and in your mind. We are what? We are making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We have our charge from Jesus himself. He said in Matthew 28:19-20, go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you to the end of the age. We have our charge. Go, make disciples. We've always had a focus on making disciples here at Christ Church. I am thrilled about the heritage of discipleship that we've always had. In fact, so far this year, we have seen 18 people come and declare their faith to make Jesus Christ the Lord and the Savior of their life. That is something to celebrate about. 18 people. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like to think about the ripple effect of that. The ripple effect of that decision for the rest of those 18 people's lives. Think about what it will mean for them. Think about what it will mean for all the persons that they impact. We've had also, get this, a total of 35 people so far this year who have said, I want to be a part. I want to join what God is doing at Christ Church. 35 new people. That is great. Amen. We celebrate. Yes. Yes. We celebrate each person has come who has come, and yet we've also had 13 of our saints who've gone on to glory. And we've also had others who've moved or transferred. And so when we think about strategic priorities in the new year, one has become very clear to me, and that is this. First of all, I'd say we need to reach more new people. We need to reach more new people. If we are going to be the church that God wants us to be, we're going to have to find new ways to be reaching more new people. Now, the good news is that so far this year, we have already reached 326 first-time guests, many of them people that you have invited or that you have welcomed. And of those, 154 are people that we've been able to follow up with because they live here in town or they have given us their contact information. And of those persons, 13 of them so far have become a part of our body of Christ this year. And that is great. We celebrate all of those people. We celebrate all of these numbers. And why? Because each number represents a person, and each person has a story, and each story matters to God. Yet, in 2019, I believe that God is calling us to reach more new people. And why? Because God cares for the whole world. Consider again the power of these words. Let's read again John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God cares for the whole world, and we see that he cares, especially for those who don't yet know him. Jesus told the story of the shepherd, remember, who left the 99 to go and search for the one lost sheep. Aren't you glad that God cares for lost sheep? Amen? Remember, Jesus encountered a woman at the well whose life was all messed up. 5 failed marriages, a live-in at the time. But what did Jesus do? Jesus, he talked to her. He spoke with her. He spoke with her, yes, about her struggles, but also about living water. And he offered her this living water from on high that would change her life. Aren't you glad that Jesus cares for people who have made mistakes, who have not lived perfect lives? Amen? Remember Zacchaeus. He was rich, but he was despised, a tax collector. Nobody liked him. But Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, you come down out of that tree. I want to hang out at your house today with you and your friends. Aren't you glad that God cares for the despised? He cares for outcasts, the marginalized, and sinners. We have got to take our cues from Jesus and find ways to reach more new people. Amen? We have got to take our cues from Jesus and find more ways to reach new people. Amen? Amen? Many people are lost and wandering today. Others are isolated and hurting. So Larry Downey and Michael Mason and Andre Tone and I were meeting for coffee earlier this week. Andre was back in the area, and so we were talking about worship and the ministry of the church. And as I was leaving, an older lady named Jackie asked me which church we were from, and I told her, and she said she couldn't help but hear us talking about helping people. She said, there are a lot of hurting people today. And then tears welled up in her eyes, and she said, I'm having to parent my 3-year-old grandson because my son can't care for him. He is all mixed up in alcohol and drugs. And then Jackie, in that brief moment, talked about struggles she had had in her own life, going through divorce, raising her son as a single parent, the struggles she had with parenting and trying to find positive male role models for her son's life. And now she says, I'm trying to raise my grandson. And she said, I'm looking for a church that would understand some of these things and be helpful. And my heart went out to Jack. And of course, I gave her my card and I told her where we're at. And I invited her to come and be a part of what God is doing here. She's right. There are lots of hurting people today. And God is calling us to reach more new people, particularly people who need the help that only Christ, that only God can give. So how do we do? Well, I've had some thoughts about that. My first thought is to mobilize you. You continue to be the best option we have for reaching more new people. You are the ones out in the community, among friends, family, new acquaintances. The best thing we can do is continue to mobilize you. We ought to tweet that. That is good stuff. One of my favorite questions to ask new people is, how did you hear about us? How did you hear about us? I love to ask that question. And earlier this year, one of our newcomers told me this story. They said, well, you know, here it is. We needed some insurance, and a young man and his dad came and talked with us about it. And when we mentioned that we were looking for a new church, this young man said, you need to check out Christ United Methodist Church. That church, I occasionally sing in the choir, and I know the director, Larry Downey, he is great. You need to check it out. And so they did, and they loved it, and they have been here ever since. We have to continue working to mobilizing you. You are our best opportunity to reach new people. We've already provided you with some great tools. So we have this great website. You can point people to the website. Here's a card, has our website on it. Go check us out. Listen to that preacher. See if that boy can't preach. We have this mobile app. Here, this is a mobile app on my phone. You can find this app. Go find this app here, and you can see, look at here, live stream us Sunday morning, anytime you want. Mobile app. Social media events. So we create all of these events that point to the things we're doing there on Facebook and other places. You can go there. You can like that. You can make a comment. You can say, I'm interested. I'm going. You can share it. What a great way, strategic way to reach new people. Sermon series cards, invite cards, go pick them up at the Welcome Center and tell people, hey, this new series, Dirt Check, this thing, Dirt Check, really spoke to me, or More Than Enough, or this latest, Live It, this thing really speaking to me. Take this card, go to the website, check that preaching out, or just come and visit with me next Sunday. We have got to expand our efforts to reach more new people, and the best thing we can do is continue to mobilize you. Secondly, I'd say this, we got to develop more fully devoted disciples. Fully devoted disciples. There is always a need for mature, seasoned, experienced disciples. The process of maturity, it takes time. The original disciples, they didn't get it right away. Remember Jesus? I mean, he spent 3 years pouring himself into them, trying to help them to understand, and yet they were slow to understand what it really meant to follow him. We've said, you know, our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the world is in great need. The people are lost. They're hurt. They're bound. They're oppressed. We hear about opioid and drug addiction and drug crisis out there in the world. And then we hear a story from somebody we know or somebody we've just met. And the whole reality of the thing comes flooding in to our world. People who are hurting, lost, oppressed, they need spiritual leaders. They need spiritual guides. They need spiritual friends. Jesus himself said in Matthew 9, 37 and 38, the harvest is plentiful. A harvest is plentiful, but what? The workers are what? Few. The workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. The harvest is plentiful. There are more people in need than ever before, but we need more workers. If we're going to reach more new people, we need to develop more fully devoted disciples. So what can we do? Another thing that has become clear to me as I've been praying, we need to sharpen our discipleship pathway. Know, love, serve. So at Christ Church, we say we've got this discipleship pathway. It's know, love, serve. First, the person comes to know Christ personally, and then as they continue to grow in their knowledge, their love of Christ becomes more stronger. And then out of that continued love and their knowledge, their passion to serve God is ignited. And so we've got this pathway, know, love, serve. We got it printed on shirts. We got it down on paper. And I love that, but we have got to sharpen the focus and so that newcomers clearly understand the steps that they can take to become fully devoted. We have got to work at sharpening, at clarifying what we mean by our discipleship pathway, know, love, serve. So look for more clarity about those things soon. To be the church that God wants us to be, I believe that we need to reach more new people. And secondly, we need to develop more fully devoted disciples. And thirdly, we must multiply our fruitfulness. We must multiply our fruitfulness. Jesus talked about the multiplication effect, didn't he? Some efforts, he said, produce 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. God is interested that our efforts be fruitful and multiply. Jesus said in John 15:1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. And then he said this in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he what? Takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Prunes, that it may bear more fruit. God wants to see our efforts bear fruit. And there is a pruning process that's part of God's kingdom process as well. So to be the fruitful church that God wants us to be, we must evaluate our efforts and focus on the things that truly do multiply our fruitfulness. We've got to evaluate what we're doing. I love to see all the things that we do, but I wonder at times if some of the things that we do are as fruitful as it could be. There was a time, I remember, when we had an annual Easter egg hunt. Some of you may remember that. Brought a lot of people from the community to the church, but as we evaluated its overall fruitfulness, it didn't help us to add more new people to the overall mission of what we're doing, and it didn't help us to develop more fully devoted disciples. And so after a while, we said, you know what, we're going to let that ministry go. A lot of effort, a lot of things went into that. We're going to let that go. It's not as fruitful as it could be. We're going to do that so that we can do things that are more fruitful. Now, We must continue to evaluate our efforts in that same way. And I know, you know, when we start doing things like that, all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, you know, that one right there. I like that one. What do you mean? We're not going to do such and such, love, you know, and we start, and that's when, you know, people start saying, why are we doing this? And I want you to remember, we're doing this because we need to multiply fruitfulness. We may need to let go of some things that aren't as fruitful as they need to be so that we can multiply our fruitfulness in other things. So what next steps can you take? Three things. Pray, seek, act. I want you to join me. I want you to join me in praying for our church. Praying that God will light a fire in all of our hearts. Praying that God will help us all to see and catch the vision. We cannot continue to just do what we've been doing and be self-sustaining over time. We have got to prayerfully focus our efforts on these three strategic priorities. Reach more new people. Develop more fully devoted disciples and multiply our fruitfulness. Second, in addition to pray, I would say seek. I want you to join me in seeking God's wisdom in how we can best achieve these priorities. We're going to need God's leading and guidance. We're going to need to seek God for wisdom about how to reach more new people, how to develop more fully devoted disciples, and to multiply our fruitfulness. And finally, I ask you to pray with me. I ask you to seek with me. And finally, act. What can you do to own your part, to find where you can help us to achieve these three priorities: reaching more new people, developing more fully devoted disciples, multiplying our fruitfulness? Each one of us owning the strategic vision and doing our part. It's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to cast the vision. It's another thing for us to say, I hear that. I sense that that is God's doing, and I need to own a part of that. What's my part going to be? That is going to be essential. So remember this. Let's catch the vision. Let's ask God to help us catch the vision and then take action steps of faith to see it come to pass. Amen? Amen. Let's pray about it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, loving Master, Holy Lord, we thank you for your love and your passion for the work of the church. You sent your Son, Jesus, into the world to suffer and die for us. And then he, Jesus, launched his church. And we have our mission. We're part of it, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And yet, we know that we cannot be complacent. We cannot be satisfied with just doing what we've always done. Lord, we need your help in reaching more new people. Lord, inspire us. We need your help in developing more fully devoted disciples. Lord, empower us. We need your help in multiplying our effectiveness. Lord, embolden us. Help us to catch the vision. Help us to seize upon the opportunities that come. Help us to own our part of what it is that you want to accomplish. Help us, Lord, to pray, to seek, to act. In the mighty name of Jesus, we've prayed. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So as we close our